So what we looked at yesterday was John chapter 6. We look specifically at verse number 45. And there it says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." When you read that in the Amplified Bible, I love how that just draws more out of it. It says, "It is written in the book of the prophets, and they shall be taught of God, have him in person for their teacher. Everyone who has listened to him and learned from the Father comes to me." So we looked at that illustration, and I love that picture. I love just exactly what those words say, that we are taught by him. We are taught directly by him. We have the Holy Spirit that is in us. And we are taught the Word of God. We're taught the principles of the Word of God. We're taught the nature of God. We are taught how and what we should be. We are taught all things. We're taught explanation and revelation of the Word of God directly, you, directly, from God himself through the Holy Spirit that is in you. That's awesome. That's an awful, awesome revelation, and it's an awesome, awesome place of expectation for us. It should enhance our excitement and expectation every time you open the Word, knowing that the Holy Spirit, knowing that the Holy Spirit of God in you is going to teach and reveal truth to you from that Word. That's tremendous. So we looked at that. Now today what I'm going to do is look at the verses that lead up to that. So the story starts in verse number 22. This is still John chapter 6, verse number 22. "On the following day, when the people who were standing..." Well, let me also tell you that Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000. So that took place. And then we see the story in verses 15 through 22, where Jesus walks on the water. And now here we come to... he walked on the water because the disciples were being sent from where they had just been, feeding the 5,000, being sent across the lake by Jesus. He gets in the boat with them, and they go across. So they've all left, and they're on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. "On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side..." These are the people who had just seen, witnessed, participated, been a part of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. "On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no one in the there was no other boat there except the one which the disciples had entered." So here's the people on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They see that the only boat that's there is the one that the disciples had entered in, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. So they know that the disciples left without Jesus, and they know that now here is that boat that the disciples left in, but here's Jesus also. "However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where the bread, where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and they came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus." So now we have these people. So first we have, it's identified that Jesus and the disciples are on the other side of the sea. There's only one boat that's there. Now back on the other shore, where they had just the day before, previously, fed the 5,000 and saw the supernatural, those people are searching for Jesus. And as they're looking for Jesus, they're coming to Capernaum. Now, I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. In verse number 22, it says, "The next day the crowd still remained standing on the other side of the sea, realized that there had only been one small boat there, and that Jesus had not gone into with his disciples, and that his disciples had gone away away by themselves. But now, some other boats from Tiberias had come in near the place where they had ate the bread, and Jesus gave thanks. So the people, finding that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there themselves, got into the small boats and came to Capernaum looking for him." So Jesus had been in Tiberias. He's now left with the disciples. The disciples left in the boat. He walked on the sea. They're on the other side. Back in Tiberias, where they had fed the people, the multitudes are coming looking for him. They don't find him there. And so they get in their boats and they start searching and they go to Capernaum. Now, if you're in Israel, you'll see that Tiberias and Capernaum are not very far apart. In fact, if you're standing, there's... when we stayed there, we stayed actually in just outside of Capernaum, kind of in between Capernaum and Tiberias. You can see both places. I mean, you can see from where you're at, you can see Tiberias to the right and Capernaum to the left. So it's not that far. I mean, it's not a quick, if you're walking, it's not quick, but it's not that far. You can see it. So they go from Tiberias to go to Capernaum. So they're looking, Capernaum. So they're looking for Jesus, searching for him. And then in verse number 24, so the people finding that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, themselves got in the small boats, they came to Capernaum looking for him. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, so they're looking for him, they don't find him, they know he's not in Tiberias, they don't find him in Capernaum, so they go across the lake and they find him there. And they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? They know that the disciples had left in the boat. And they know Jesus was not in the boat. Now, they've been searching for him. They didn't see Jesus go from one place to the other. Now, he could not have walked there, because to go around the lake or the Sea of Galilee would take a long time to do that. He couldn't have done that overnight. How in the world did he get across the Sea of Galilee? They're surprised by this, not realizing he walked across, or at least walked to the boat with the disciples. Jesus answered them, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, you've been searching for me not because you saw the miracles and the signs, but because you were fed with the loaves and filled and satisfied. Now, that's an interesting response that Jesus gives. Here they're saying to Jesus, hey, Jesus, how did you get here? We've been searching for you. We were in Tiberias where you left us. We looked in Capernaum. You weren't there. Now, here you are across the sea. How did that happen? How did you get here? That's the question they're asking Jesus. Jesus answers that question by not answering their question directly, but he does answer what's going on in their hearts and in their spirits and in their souls. He speaks to them directly. He answers them, but it's probably not the answer. It's probably not the question that they knew that they were asking. So they're asking one question, but it really is exposing an underlying greater question that they have. And he's going right to that greater question. They're asking, how did you get here? What they really want to know is, hey, you fed us yesterday. We're looking for you. We want more. How do we get what we had yesterday? We want more of that. How do we get that? That's their real question. He goes right to the heart of their question. And he says, most solemnly, I tell you, you've been searching for me not because you saw miracles and signs, but because you were fed with the loaves and filled and satisfied. Now listen to what he says next. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes in the using. But strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food which endures continually unto eternal life. The Son of Man will give or furnish you that. For God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement on him. So they're asking, how did you get here? But Jesus realizes what they're really wanting to know is, we want some more. We saw this miracle yesterday. Pretty dazzled. We have to work hard and toil hard. And you have to understand, back in those days, it was a lot of toil and effort. It was not easy to scratch out your daily existence. You're working hard just to survive, just to be able to meet the needs of your family and survive. Providing food was a big issue. So this is a big thing. They don't have McDonald's drive-thru they can go through. This is a big thing that all of a sudden Jesus provided this miracle of a few loaves and fish, and he provides enough to feed from that little amount 5,000 people and the women and children in addition. So you're talking probably upwards of probably 15,000. This is why they came. And Jesus says, you're coming after me and you're looking for the wrong thing, though. You're looking for just to have the natural met. You're not looking towards the spiritual. Now, that may seem perhaps obvious to us. But the reality is, and if we're honest with ourselves, this is something we should ask ourselves. How often in life am I doing the same thing? How often am I looking to Jesus just to meet my needs? But I'm not looking towards the eternal. I'm looking towards the physical. I'm hungering to have my physical needs met. But I'm not seeking after the spiritual. I'm working hard to get, I'm striving to get the natural needs met. But there's so much more. In fact, this is why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things shall be added unto you. This is the same principle that Jesus is teaching right here. He's saying, look, you're looking to have your physical needs met. Set your sights higher. Aim higher than that. Look with spiritual eyes. Look beyond your physical needs. Look towards me. Hunger not just to have your flesh satisfied. Hunger to have the spiritual element satisfied. Hunger after me. Thirst for me. Desire for me. For in doing that, you will find that your greater need, the spiritual need, is met. And as a result of that, then, as a byproduct of that, all of your carnal needs, all of your physical needs, you're going to find those are met too. But seek the higher, and then you get all that comes with it. They're just seeking the very elementary. They're seeking the very lowest. And they're not taking care. They're not concerned about the spiritual growth, the spiritual well-being, the spiritual development. They're not concerning themselves with those things. They're concerning themselves only with their physical, carnal needs. I saw what you did for us yesterday. I want you to meet my needs again today and tomorrow and all the rest. So again, let's be honest with ourselves. How often is that the conversation that we have with Jesus? We're seeking Jesus because we have needs. We have physical needs. Maybe we do need finances. Maybe we are hungry. Maybe we're about to lose our house. Maybe we're already homeless. You know, maybe we have marital problems. Maybe we have emotional problems. Whatever the greater needs are, health issues, whatever your physical needs are, we can become so obsessed on thinking about those things that we're only aiming towards the lower end, to the lower end, where, if you will, we're grabbing the fruit on the lowest branches. Jesus is saying, strive for the top. I have so much for you. Stop just grabbing the low-hanging fruit. I got so much more. Aim your sights higher. Because if you get the higher, you're going to get everything that comes underneath it. All that's part of it's already under the umbrella. Go to the top and you get everything that's under the umbrella. You're just striving for the very bottom, the very basics. I've got so much more for you if you will hunger not after the things of the world, not after the things of just the flesh, but if you will hunger and thirst after me. You find me and you find all those spiritual peace, contentment, answers, fulfillment, and you'll find all the physical takes care of itself because you've gotten the higher. You've obtained for the higher, everything else comes with it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. My first concern should not be, Jesus, how can you meet my needs? My first concern should be, Jesus, how can I know you more? How can I get to know you better? How can I come to a deeper relationship with you? How do I come into more of relationship and fellowship and being with you? How do I get more of that? That's what I want. And that's exactly what Jesus knew that all these people needed too. And he's trying to get them to focus their hearts, their intentions, their motivations, their desires on him first. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes. How much of my day yesterday was spent working, endeavoring, efforting towards things that are only for this natural world? They will burn up and be destroyed. They have no longevity. But he says, rather strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food, which endures continually unto eternal life. The Son of Man will give, furnish you that, for God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement on him. Jesus is saying that's the work that we do. Now the next question is, well, how do we do that work? What does that work look like? Well, he answers that in just a few verses, and that's what we'll look at tomorrow. What I want to leave you with this morning is think about the conversations that you have with Jesus. Because too often my conversations wind up sounding like those multitudes that were searching, endeavoring after him, making great effort to go to him. It takes a lot of effort. They're in their boats. They're going from Tiberias to Capernaum all the way across the sea in searching after him. They are working hard to find him. And they get there. They're still reaching for the lowest hanging fruit. Jesus is saying, stop just trying to meet your carnal needs. I have so much more to offer you. There's so much more in me. I want you to desire the more. For when you get the higher things, everything that's under it comes along with it. That should be our heart's desire. Seeking, knowing, having a deeper relationship with him.